Today is the 29th day of August. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. Brian, it is with a grateful heart that we gather together today. It is great to be here with you as we gather yet again around the global campfire, winding down another one of the months that we get to spend together here in this 20th year. I am grateful, and it is good to be with you and be in your presence. I hope you are doing well. I hope your spirits are safe and sound. I hope whatever's going on is good, but I know that it's ups and downs and ups and downs, and so I know that's not true for everybody. I believe you are in the right place, a safe oasis that we create together every day to allow the scriptures in, to open our hearts so that our hearts can be open, so that we can gain insight into our own hearts. A good friend of mine calls it the terrain of our own hearts. I think that's right. Exploring the terrain of our own hearts, becoming aware, self-aware. The scriptures do a remarkable job of inviting that. And one of the books, all of them do this, but one of the books that really, really explores the depths is the book that we're in right now, the book of Job. And we have been talking about Job all along, so we kind of have the lay of the land. We're just picking up where we left off, and Job is communicating. Today, Job chapters 31, 32, and 33. I have made a covenant with my eyes. How then could I stare at a virgin with desire? If I did, what reward would I receive from God above? What inheritance from the Almighty on high? Is not ruin the reward for the wicked, and misfortune the reward for evildoers? But doesn't God see my ways? Doesn't he count my every step? Have I walked with deceit and lies? Has my foot hurried to pursue fraud? If God weighs me on an honest scale, he will know my integrity. If my footsteps have slipped off the path, if my heart has pursued things desired by my eyes, if anything corrupt is stuck to my palms, then let someone else eat what I have sown. Let my crops be uprooted. If my heart has been enticed by a woman, if I have lurked at my neighbor's doorway, let my wife grind for another, and let other men crouch down over her. For that would have been shameful behavior, a guilty deed worthy of judgment. There is a fire that consumes all the way to hell, that would completely burn up all my harvest. If I have denied justice to my male servants or to my female servants in their disputes with me, then what would I do when God arises, when he comes to call me to account? How could I respond to him? Didn't he who made me in the womb also make my servant? Didn't the same God fashion us both in the womb? If I have withheld from the poor what they desired, if I have darkened the eyes of the widow, if I have eaten my food all by myself and have not shared it with the fatherless, no, from the time of my youth, the fatherless child grew up with me, and I was like a father to him. from the womb of my mother, I guided the widow. If I saw anyone perishing from lack of clothing, if the needy had nothing to wear, his very body blessed me, as he was warmed by the wool from my sheep. If I raised my hand against the fatherless child, because I had influence in the court at the city gates, then let my shoulder be knocked out of its socket, and let my upper arm be broken. Now, doom from God terrifies me, and I cannot endure his majesty. If I placed my confidence in gold, and if I said to pure gold, you are my security, if I rejoiced because I was so rich and because my hand had obtained so much, if I saw the shining sun and the moon moving in its splendor, if my heart was gullible enough to worship them in secret, and I kissed my hand to honor them, that would have made me guilty and deserving of judgment, for I would have denied God above. If I rejoiced at the misfortune of someone who hates me, or I was thrilled because trouble caught up with him, but no, I have not savored sin by asking for a curse on his life. Did the men in my tent ever have to say that there was someone who had not been filled with meat from Job? No stranger ever had to spend the night outside. I have opened my door to the traveler. If I had covered up my sin like Adam, and I had hidden my guilt in my heart, because I was frightened of the crowd, and the contempt of the clans filled me with terror, so that I was silent and I did not go out of a door. Oh, how I wish I had someone to listen to me. Look, here is my seal on my testimony. Let the Almighty answer me. Let me see the written indictment from my accuser. I would lift it up on my shoulder. I would place it on my head as a crown. I would account to him for every single step. I would approach him like the chief of a tribe. If my soil cries out against me and its furrows weep because of me, if I have consumed its wealth without paying for it, if I have caused the death of its owners, then let a thorn bush grow up instead of wheat, and stink weeds instead of barley. The words of Job are concluded. These three men gave up trying to answer Job because he was righteous in his own eyes. So Elihu, son of Barakel, the Buzite from the clan of Ram, burned with anger. His anger burned against Job because Job had justified himself rather than God. His anger also burned against his three companions because they had no answer for Job, but they nevertheless had condemned him. Up to this point, Elihu had held back, and he had not spoken to Job because the others were older and more experienced than he was. When Elihu saw that the three men had no ready answer, his anger burned. So Elihu, son of Barakel the Buzite, responded. He said, "I am young and inexperienced, and you are aged. That is why I held back. And I was terrified to tell you what I know. I thought that experience should speak. Many years should give a man wisdom. However, it is the spirit in a man and the breath of the Almighty that give a man understanding. It is not just the important men who are wise. The elderly are not the only ones who know how to judge cases. That is why I now say, listen to me. I will declare what I know. Yes, I will. Notice that I waited for you to finish your words. I have listened carefully to your conclusions. The whole time you were searching for the right words, I paid attention to you. But look, not one of you showed Job that he was wrong or came up with an answer for Job. So do not say, we have found wisdom, but it is God, not a man, who will have to refute him. Job has not drawn up his speeches against me, so I will not respond to him with arguments like yours. Those three are shattered. They no longer respond. They have run out of words. I have waited patiently. But since they no longer speak, and they just stand there and do not answer anymore, I will now respond with my contribution. I will now declare what I know, for I am full of words. A wind in my belly is building up pressure. My belly is like unvented wine. I am like a new wineskin ready to burst. I intend to speak so that I can find relief for myself. Let me open my lips and answer. I will certainly not show favoritism to any man. I will not address any man with flattering titles, because I do not know how to pass out flattering titles. If I did so, my maker would quickly carry me away. But now, Job, listen to my speech. Pay close attention to all my words. Listen, because I have opened my mouth. See how my tongue shapes words in my mouth. My speech will reveal my upright heart. My lips express my knowledge plainly. The Spirit of God made me. The breath of the Almighty gave me life. Refute me if you are able. Lay out your case before me. Take your stand. Look, my mouth belongs to God just as your mouth does. Like you, I was snipped off from a lump of clay. Look, you should not be terrified by how awesome I am. Pressure from me should not intimidate you. However, you said this in my hearing, and I did hear the sound of these words. I am pure, without any sinful rebellion. I am clean. I have no guilt, but look how God finds pretexts to oppose me. He treats me like his enemy. He has put my feet in stocks. He patrols all my paths. Job, listen to this. You are not right. I must refute you. Certainly God is greater than a man. Why do you bring charges against him? Because he does not answer all of a man's questions? God does speak, sometimes one way, sometimes another, but people do not pay attention to it. In a dream, in a vision in the night, when people are falling into a deep sleep, while they slumber on their beds, he whispers a revelation into people's ears. And he confirms his warnings to them in order to turn a man from his course of action and to suppress a person's pride. He spares his life from the pit. He spares his life from crossing the stream of death. Or a person may be disciplined on his bed by pain and by continual agony in his bones, so that his life makes food disgusting to him, and he has no appetite for delicious food. His flesh wastes away and disappears, and his bones, which were hidden, now stick out. Then his soul draws near to destruction, and his life to those who bring death. If there is a messenger at his side to mediate, one out of 1,000, to tell a man what is right for him, if he is gracious to him, if he says, "Spare him from going down to the pits, I have found a ransom for him," then his flesh would become more vigorous than it was in his youth. He would return to days of youthful vitality. Then he would pray to God, and God would be pleased with him. With a joyful cry, he would see God's face, and God would restore his righteousness to the man. Then the man would turn to people and say, "I have sinned, and I have perverted what is right. Yet I was not punished as much as I deserved. God has redeemed my soul from passing into the pit, and my life will see the light. Look, God does all these things with a man 2 times, or even 3 times, to bring back his soul from the pit, so that light shines on him among the living. Pay attention, Job. Listen to me. Be silent, so that I may speak. If you have anything to say, answer me. Speak up, for I would be delighted to declare you innocent. If you have nothing to say, listen to me. Be silent, so I may teach you wisdom." Second Corinthians 3. Are we beginning to commend ourselves again? Or do we need, like some people, letters of recommendation to you or from you? You yourselves are our letter, written on our hearts, known and read by everyone. It is clear that you are a letter from Christ, delivered by us, written not with ink but with the Spirit of the living God. Not on stone tablets, but on tablets that are hearts of flesh. Such is the confidence we have through Christ before God. Not that we are competent by ourselves to claim that anything comes from us. Rather, our competence is from God. He also made us competent as ministers of a New Testament. Not of letter, but of spirit. For the letter kills, but the spirit gives life. If the ministry that brought death, which was engraved in letters on stone, came with glory, so that the Israelites could not look directly at the face of Moses because of the glory of his face, though it was fading, how will the ministry of the Spirit not be much more glorious? For if the ministry that brought condemnation has glory, the ministry that brought righteousness has even more glory. In fact, in this case, what was glorious is no longer very glorious, because of the greater glory of that which surpasses it. Indeed, if what was fading away was glorious, how much more glorious is that which is permanent? Therefore, since we have this kind of hope, we act with great boldness. We are not like Moses, who put a veil over his face so that the Israelites could not continue to look at the end of the radiance as it was fading away. In spite of this, their minds were hardened. Yes, up to the present day, the same veil remains when the Old Testament is read. It has not been removed because it is taken away only in Christ. Instead, to this day, whenever Moses is read, a A veil lies over their hearts. But whenever someone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. But all of us who reflect the Lord's glory with an unveiled face are being transformed into His own image from one degree of glory to another. This too is from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Psalm 43, a plea for vindication. Judge me justly, O God, and plead my case against an ungodly nation. Rescue me from the deceitful wicked man. I know you are God, my stronghold. Why have you rejected me? Why must I go around mourning because of oppression by the enemy? Send out your light and your truth. Let them guide me. Let them bring me to your holy mountain, to your dwelling. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God, my joy and gladness. Then I will praise you with the lyre, O God, my God. Why are you so depressed, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Hope in God, for I will again praise Him for my salvation from the face of my God. Proverbs 22, 8 and 9. Whoever sows injustice reaps trouble, and the rod that inflicts his fury will be destroyed. A generous person will be blessed because he gives some of his food to the poor. Okay, so there's some significant depth today in 2 Corinthians as Paul is laying out in letter form different persuasions and arguments throughout all of his letters. And there's some, I mean, it's Hebrew-centric, but very, very important points that he's trying to make. So he's discussing veils today. Right? And we know what a veil is. Like, we don't, depending on the culture we're in, we don't wear veils a lot, maybe weddings, but we know what a veil is that hides a face. And Paul discusses veils as a way of contrasting the old covenant, the law, the Mosaic covenant, the Mosaic law, and the new covenant that was revealed through Jesus. So the law, and we read all this, and indeed it was glorious and miraculous, the way that the law was given to Moses. But it was given in a certain way, in part because the people were afraid to directly hear from God. And that is an important distinction, because God had told them to come to the mountain and he would speak to them. And it freaked them out. And they didn't want to hear directly from God. They wanted a spokesperson. They wanted Moses. And so Moses climbs Mount Sinai to meet with God on their behalf. And when he came down the mountain, his face was shining with the glory of God, which freaked out the people even more. And so he put a veil over his face so that they wouldn't be disturbed by the glory. For Paul, looking through a veil represented the way in which people had been viewing the law since that time. He explains it. He says the people's minds, they were hardened. And up until today, whenever the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, is being read, it's the same veil that covers their minds. So they can't understand. And this veil, the only way it can be taken away or removed is by believing in Jesus and Christ. So for Paul, the law always pointed out the way that people were failing, while the ministry of Jesus and his work revealed the way in which we can be set free from those failings and become righteous before God. And that is a compelling argument, a deeply controversial but very compelling argument in the Hebrew context that Paul is speaking, but very compelling for us. Paul begins to paint a picture of what life might look like if we weren't looking through a veil anymore. Whenever someone turns to the Lord, Paul says, the veil gets taken away, because the Lord is spirit. And wherever the spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. The veil is removed. Or in the vernacular of Jesus, eyes to see and ears to hear. So this is a pretty famous passage of scripture, pretty well known. But step back and look at these implications. The implications are profound. If freedom exists or is available to participate in, wherever it is that the Spirit of the Lord is, where is the Spirit of the Lord not? If we go back to Psalms, like the 139th Psalm, where can I flee from your Spirit? Where can I go to get away from your Spirit? So if the Spirit of the Lord is everywhere, then freedom is available. Freedom from sin and unrighteousness and evil and everything associated with it that lead us into profound human suffering. Freedom is a choice. It's right there for the taking. It's perpetually available wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, and where is God not? So when the veil is removed, then we can see that freedom and walk in that freedom and experience it. So knowing that there is a way to truly be released from transgression and choose freedom, and then it will stick, and then it will transform us, otherwise known as sanctification. That's astounding news. That would be called good news. And conversely, any time that we're not walking in that freedom and instead chaining ourselves by our choices to darkness, well, we now understand that we're choosing. As Paul would say, we're choosing to look through a veil. As Jesus would say, we don't have eyes to see or ears to hear. But Paul keeps going about this freedom. He says, so everybody that has had the veil taken away, they can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord is spirit. and His Spirit makes us more and more like Him as we are continually changed into His glorious image. That verse, that's 2 Corinthians 3:18. That verse sets in motion a plot for life. Once we can see, once we have eyes to see and ears to hear, once the veil has been removed and we can see clearly what is available, what God has done through Jesus, then we can also see and reflect the glory of the Lord upon the earth. That is good news. It is also what we were created to look like from the beginning. So when we live in freedom and intimacy with nothing between us, between us and God, nothing hidden, naked and unashamed, and we reflect the glory of the Lord, then we are being made God-like. That's the astounding thing that Paul is saying. We are being made more and more like Him as we are changed into His glorious image. That's Paul. That's the Bible. Think about that. Like, I know, like, thinking, okay, God-like? It's a bit arrogant. Isn't that blasphemy? And so that can be disruptive. It's not so disruptive, according to Paul, if the veil gets removed. Or we have eyes to see and ears to hear. Why would it be a stretch to consider that we were being made more and more in the image of God, which is how we were created to begin with, that we were simply returning to the image bearers that we are from the beginning, that we're moving forward as we walk truly in mercy and grace and are transformed? Every one of us would say, like, following, like being a disciple and following the pathways of Jesus, that is the goal. And that is the primary purpose of the faith. Human beings were made in the likeness of God when we were created, right? I mean, that's what we read in the Bible when we started this journey in Genesis. And if the work of Christ is sanctifying, is returning us to that state of union with God, then it's not such a stretch to understand what Paul is saying, even though it's astounding. I mean, to be like Christ is our pursuit. Christ-like. We easily say that. Christ-like. Who is Christ, if not God? And if not God, why are we doing this? So Christ-like and God-like are the same thing. This is a humanity that Paul is describing that is restored to how it was created to be and how it is intended to be on this earth. For Paul, the argument is we don't need a list of rules or a law to get us there. That points out the way that we're failing. But we don't have to fail anymore. That is a choice, just as much as freedom is a choice. And so sin no longer has to be a part of our story. We are restored through Jesus, who we were, as we were meant to be, as it was intended for us, created in the image of God, being made whole, day by day, step by step, and we can reflect the glory of the Lord upon the earth. Wow. So there's a lot to ponder there. The implications are profound. If we could live into them, if that became the focus of our lives. And so just imagine, I mean, really, like, meditate on that today. What would the veil being removed change in the story of your life today? And Holy Spirit, come, reveal that to us. Make us aware of the places that we're blinded because we're looking through a veil. Looking at ourselves through a veil, looking at others, looking at you, looking at circumstances, and reacting from within that view, when if it's removed, we can see clearly that these things are a choice, and we can choose bondage, and we can choose darkness. But it's a choice, because we can also choose freedom. Holy Spirit, come in the name of Jesus, we ask. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com is home base. The Daily Audio Bible app is home base as well. So like always, stay connected, be connected, get connected. As we continue to navigate year number 20, 7 days in a row, consecutively, every single day, every single week, every single month for 20 years. Hard to believe, but it's true. The Daily Audio Bible is the longest consecutively running, nonstop podcast in history. That is remarkable. Jill and I, being the artists that we are, that we would stay so loyally committed to something every single day for so long. Well, I mean, gosh, even if you're like a set it and forget it kind of person, it's 20 years, 7 days in a row. So, man, I'm grateful for the scriptures. They have changed my life profoundly in every conceivable way. I'm glad that we are in this together celebrating 20 years. And so I mentioned yesterday, this Tuesday, a couple days from now, this Tuesday, Jill and I will be back together again, sharing another conversation, sharing little pieces of our lives. It's not a new song that's coming though, but we are celebrating 20 years. So we'll look forward to spending some time together again on Tuesday. Reminding you of the music that we have released this year for the 20th anniversary. Jill's song, I Found Grace. Ezekiel's song, When the Bow Breaks. My song, Love Will Not Care. And then Jill and my first ever duet, Blessed Be the Name. Those can be found anywhere that you can listen to music and stream them, put on in your playlist, share them, and make them a part of your life. And then the Wind Farm 20th Anniversary Reserve Southern Pecan Coffee is a part of our celebration right now of our 20th year. And so make sure you have the opportunity. By the way, I did not know this because I'm like a hot coffee drinker. But my son, Tyler, who ships everything to you, we'll ship the coffee to you, came in the other day with some cold brew of the Southern Pecan, a little cream in it, iced. I was like, oh my, like, yes, please. I am gonna need some more of that kind of love in my life. I don't drink a lot of iced coffee because I will pound it, and because I can drink it so quickly, I like it so much, and then all of a sudden I'm a, you know, like three cups in and bouncing off the walls. Whereas hot coffee, I just kind of sip it throughout the day. But man, that Southern Pecan iced rocked. It was like amazingly delicious. So yeah, if you've got some of that, make sure you get a little of that kind of love. And if you haven't had a chance to try it out yet, you can find it in the Daily Audio Bible shop. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, you can do that at dailyaudiobible.com. There is a link on the homepage. If you're using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner. Or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app. That is the little red button up at the top. Or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that is all for today. I'm Brian. I love you. And I will be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Hi, this is Janine from Washington, and I'm calling in today to say a prayer for Cece from PA. So, Father, we just thank you so much for Cece's call today on Saturday. We just ask for you to really help her in her time of need. I thank you for her vulnerability and being honest about where she's at in her life. And, Father, we just ask that you would show her that you are the bread of life. You alone are the living water that can satisfy our souls. And Lord, so many of us, we all at times have looked to other things to satisfy that hole in our heart, whether it's drugs or alcohol or improper relationships, whatever it is, Lord, we just know that you alone can really satisfy our needs and our hearts. And so, Lord, would you help Cece to seek you with her whole heart, Father? Would she read your word, and would she turn on some worship music and just really spend time in your presence, Lord, and would you meet her where she's at? Would you fill her heart with peace and joy? And so, Lord, we just thank you so much for Cece, and we just ask for you to minister to her today and help her to become a godly woman, Father. And I just ask your blessing on her life today in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Good morning, DAB. This is Kentucky Cowboy. First-time caller. Been listening for about a year and a half. And thank you, Brian and Jill, for this platform and this ministry. Thank you to your family. Lord, I just pray that you would be with Brian and Jill, give them strength, endurance, guidance in the up-and-coming years, Lord. Thank you to the DAB family, Lord. I just feel connected with you guys, and I just, listening in today on the August 23rd prayer, I just felt a nudge from the Holy Spirit to call in. Just, I was broken to hear these people. I think it was Cece and Aussie Bear that are just dealing with depression right now, and I hear this so many times in the prayer line, and as I was out here just feeding the animals, and just enjoying my ranch here, I just, Lord just said, hey, we need to lift these guys up. And so, Lord, I'm not an expert, you know that, in depression, but I just pray that you would meet Cece and Aussie Bear in their, where they need to, their needs, where they need to be met, bring the people in their life, the scripture, the family, the friends, companions, whatever it may be, God, you meet them. You touch them, you fill them with your love and your guidance, and I just pray that you would put a hedge of protection around them, and I pray that you would pour your love over them, God. We thank you so much, Lord. Thank you for all that you do, and I just ask all this in your precious name, Jesus. Thank you. Kentucky Cowboy out.
Good day, fellow dabbers. I want to assure each of you that I listen to the community prayers and the prayer at the end of each podcast, and I pray along with you and I give God praise for what he's doing in your lives. And today I want to pray particularly for DC in PA. Lord, I bring DC in PA before you. And Lord, I claim deliverance over the self-incrimination that she's doing. I claim that, I pray that you would reveal yourself to her today. That as she reads your word, she listens to the word. Lord, that you would remind her that she is precious in your sight. That because of what Jesus has done on the cross, Lord, she doesn't need to condemn herself. She just needs to rest in you and believe that because of what you've done, she can be the best person that she can be. She can have your peace. She can have your joy. And she can have your strength. And Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would do a new work in her life today. Give her a heart of gratitude and a heart that is leaning into you and trusting you. And I praise you, God, for what you're going to do this day in DC's life. Lord, just thank you and I give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Randolph from Toronto. Be encouraged, DC. We are not perfect, but God is perfect and he's our righteousness and our peace. Blessings to you.
Shalom, shalom. I left a prayer earlier this morning for two women on the August 23rd, but I came across Romans 8, 38, 39, and I really want to pray this over the two women. It was Cece from Pennsylvania, and I think her name, she said, was Aussie Bear from Australia, because you so touch my heart, and you are on my mind and on my thoughts. Romans 8, 38, 39, I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And my sweet sisters, there is nothing, nothing that will separate God from you. He loves you. He cherishes you. And I hope this touches you because it certainly touched me. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
This prayer is for Cece in PA. Oh, Lord Jesus, please help this dear woman, oh, Lord. Please, Lord, give her a sense of worth and love. Help her to see herself as you see her, dear God. Please, Lord, help her in her distress. Give her hope and life. Speak life to her heart, O God. Be strong to her, Lord. Be her strong tower, her help, her strength. Father, do not allow her to take her life or to harm herself in any way. But Lord, be her strength and her love and the spouse that she needs. Lord, everything that she needs, O God, be with her. Truly and completely, Lord, and heal her from her depression. Break the chain of the evil one, Lord, and help her just surrender her life to your will. Keep her strong in the power of the Lord and in the power of his might, O God. I pray, Father, that you would draw near to her, Lord. You say, if we draw near to you, you will draw near to us, Lord. So help her to draw near to you, Lord. Speak truth and life to her heart. Help her to overcome this depression and be her help and strength. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hi, family. I'd like to request prayer for Zoe. She's a three-year-old who's been battling leukemia for almost 2 years. And they thought it was under control, but then it showed back up. And she's looking at needing a bone marrow transplant. And so her father has asked that everybody pray every day at 12 o'clock Central Time for little Zoe. Thank you.